Welcome to The Confident Wallet, a personal finance podcast series from The Washington Post Brand Studio and T. Rowe Price. My name is Lynette Kalfani Cox. I'm also known as The Money Coach. I'm the author of the New York Times bestseller, Zero Debt, The Ultimate Guide to Financial Freedom, and I'll be your host. Today's discussion features a roundtable conversation with savvy experts designed to enable you to make more informed financial decisions. This episode is about priorities. When faced with conflicting financial priorities, how do you decide where to put your next dollar? My guests include Kimberly Palmer. She's a journalist and the author of Smart Mom, Rich Mom. I'm also joined today by Judith Ward. She's a certified financial planner at T. Rowe Price and contributor at Forbes. Welcome to the show, Kim.
Thanks so much for having me.
And Judy, welcome to you as well.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here, Lynette.
So the purpose of our discussion is to give people new ways of looking at the big picture. Let's jump right in, Kim. What are some things to consider, maybe two or three things that people should consider when they're choosing where to put their next dollar?
Well, everyone is so different, but I think that one of the first places to start is what your goals are, because some people will have big goals like buying a house or maybe starting a family, retiring at a certain age, and that would really affect what kinds of financial decisions you want to make today are. And then secondly, I would definitely think about your challenges. So if you have specific challenges either currently or on the horizon, things like paying off debt, especially high interest debt like credit card debt, or if you need to build up an emergency fund if you haven't done that yet. And then thirdly, I would say what your expectations are in the short term, especially about your lifestyle. So if you're expecting some big life changes, things like moving or changing jobs, all of that can have a big impact on your financial decisions.
Okay, so goals, challenges, and expectations when it comes to deciding where to put your next dollar. Judy, let me ask you about age and sort of proximity to retirement. What role does that play in where you put your next dollar?
Sure. As a financial planner, I think that the saving for retirement is key, because many of us now, we are going to be responsible for our funding our own retirement along with Social Security. And many of us think that Social Security might be a little precarious now. So it really is upon us to save for retirement. I would say at any age, it's really important. And the younger you are, of course, the more time you have for those retirement savings to compound. But even as you get closer to retirement, that's where the rubber is going to meet the road. And you really need to assess that nest egg that you've accumulated and, you know, make sure that it's going to help meet your needs in retirement.
Sure. I don't think I've ever met anyone who said, darn, I saved too much for retirement. Kim, let me ask you, what about things like debt management? You mentioned that some of the challenges people might face are paying off things like credit card bills. What are some things to think about when you need to save for both the short and the long term?
Well, I think it can definitely feel overwhelming when you're trying to juggle all of these competing goals. So I always like to think about taking small steps. So is there a way you can address each of those goals, but maybe in a smaller way? So for example, when you have years to go before retirement, could you start with maybe opening up a retirement account, putting 3% of your salary in that you then increase over time? So you're working toward that, but at the same time, making a plan to pay off some of that debt. So juggling those, but knowing you can't accomplish everything at once. So just breaking it into smaller bite-sized pieces so you feel like you're making progress.
Right. And since we're talking about priorities and often conflicting priorities, what do you do if you, say, need to save for retirement, something that's potentially years away, but you need a new car perhaps to get to work?
I always like to think about, what do you need to do today in terms of making the biggest impact on your finances? For a lot of us, that'll be number one, paying off your high interest rate credit card debt. A close second, or maybe even on the same level, is building up that emergency fund so you know you have a safety net for yourself, especially if you experience something like an unexpected cost or job loss. So those are usually, I think, top priorities.
Judy?
I'm going to use a dirty word here. So that word is budget.
The B word.
The dreaded B word.
And I wish people didn't think of it as such a bad word, though.
Right. Well, think about it as your spending plan, right? It's going to help you understand how you can spend today and then how you can spend in the future.
Right.
And meet your near-term goals and your long-term goals. But it provides a framework so that you can look at your expenses and make sure that what you're spending your money on are the things that you value.
Right.
So when you use the example of a car, do research about how much the car is going to cost you before you jump into making that purchase. Understand the cost of the car, how much it's going to cost to drive, the maintenance. And if you have a budget in place, now you know how much you can afford to spend to buy that car. So a budget really helps you put your spending into perspective and can provide that framework to help you make these kinds of decisions to accommodate your goals.
Right. I think that more people perhaps wouldn't be afraid of creating a budget, living on a budget, sticking to a budget if they saw it the way that we do, as an empowerment tool, as a spending plan of action. So often we hear people dreading being on a budget because they think, in their head at least, that it signifies everything that they can't buy, what they can't do, and what they can't have. But if you think about it as an empowerment tool, something that's going to help you prioritize your spending, it sort of reverses the psychology around budgeting.
Exactly. And one of the things that I would challenge people to do is keep a spending journal. You know, if you haven't started a budget and you don't have one yet, keep a spending journal, and you might be surprised to learn what you're spending your money on. And are those the things you want to be spending your money on? And then what's the essential expenses versus what is more discretionary and where you might have some wiggle room in your budget to accommodate some of these other goals that you have?
What about digital or online tools? Kim, are there tools out there that will help people to prioritize where they put their savings?
Yes, I am such a fan of all of the new digital tools that are coming out. It seems like on a daily basis, there's a new app to help us, and it can just help automate some of this, even in terms of tracking your spending. You don't have to do it on paper. You can use some of these online tools. So I would suggest starting with your financial institution, because in a lot of cases, your financial institution will offer you some built-in tools through either an app or in an online interface. You have all your accounts in there, it's very easy to have some insight into what kind of changes perhaps you need to be making. There's so many budgeting apps and ways to remind you to pay your bills on time. I recently started using auto bill pay, which is something a lot of banks make easy, just to make sure you don't miss payments. I mean, what's more frustrating than having to pay a late fee and having to remember all of that? We're so busy. So the more you can do to automate and, you know, take the weight off your shoulders and put it on some of these tools can really help you out.
That's great advice. And Judy, how do taxes play a role in determining where to put your next dollar?
So I look at more as using the best tax-advantaged account to save for your goals. That's the way I would kind of look at how taxes play a role. So if you're saving for retirement, you want to use an account that is tax advantageous for your retirement savings. And that would be, for example, your 401k plan, your workplace plan, an IRA or individual retirement account. You know, those allow you to put money in. Sometimes you get a deduction. It might reduce your taxable income. The money grows tax deferred. And then when you take it out in retirement, you might have to pay taxes then. Or the Roth option, which you don't get the tax benefit today, but you save tax deferred, and when you take the money out, it's tax-free for all qualified distributions. So there's tax benefits to those kinds of accounts. That's great for retirement savings. There's also accounts specifically for college savings. You can put money in and have it grow tax deferred, and it's tax-free when used for qualified college expenses. And then you also want to have money on the side when you can. You know, we talked a little bit about the emergency reserve, money that's accessible so that you don't have to raid these other accounts to make ends meet. I think more about tax diversification and using the account that's going to help you achieve that goal in the most tax advantaged way.
And Kim, are there any tricks or questions to ask yourself when you're deciding between two financial priorities?
My all-time favorite, and I actually do this all the time, is to think, what would your future self do? There's actually a lot of research that suggests if you feel really in touch with your future self, then you'll make better savings decisions, because instead of deciding to, you know, splurge on something short-term, you can put that money away and your future self will really appreciate it.
Okay, great advice there. And Judy, what are some common mistakes that people make when they're deciding where to put their next dollar?
I would say the biggest mistake is just not having a plan. You know, I hear all the time, you know, I'm living paycheck to paycheck and then I'll save whatever's left over. Well, guess what? There's never anything left over. So I think that's the biggest mistake, is not having a plan. And then the other thing is, when you are kind of calculating your savings goals, you need to be very specific. I hear, again, all the time, people are like, well, yeah, I need to save for my child's education. Well, what does that really mean? So you have to be very specific, and it might mean, you know, researching the cost of college. How much can you put away each month? And then thinking about that in terms of a specific dollar amount. So if you say, I'm saving for my daughter's education, that means I need to save $300 a month, you know, for the next 10 years or whatever that ends up being. And now that $300 a month, that goes into your budget. That's a light item in your budget.
So once you know the goal and perhaps even have attached a price tag to it, how do you prioritize the retirement savings and the emergency savings and all those other future goals, whether it's college, buying a home, or something else?
That's really tough. And I think a lot of people now, they've got all of these competing priorities, as we've been talking about. And as a planner, I think the saving for retirement is extremely important. And if you do have a company plan that offers a match, then I think you should take advantage of that match. You don't want to leave that money on the table. And then secondly, really look at your debt. And it's really the high interest credit card debt that I think is the real culprit. If you're only making minimum payments every month, or you have a perpetual balance, then that's probably something that you want to look at to pay down.
That would be sapping your ability to save for those future
exactly.
goals.
You want to free that money up so that you can then put it to savings goals. Ideally, if you can save for retirement and have a structure to pay down your debt and do that at the same time, that would be great. You could just do a small amount, as Kim mentioned earlier, just a small amount into retirement and then dedicate funds to pay down that high interest credit card debt. It would be good to try to do that at the same time. If you can't do it at the same time, then you really want to time bound that exercise of paying down that debt and try to get it done in, you know, 2 to 3 years, so that then you can put those dollars towards your other savings goals.
Okay. Otherwise, you fall into the minimum payment trap and you're just kind of in debt year after year, and you really tread water and don't get ahead there.
Exactly.
So how can you best prepare for life events, whether they're planned or not? Maybe a new job is on the horizon, or perhaps a lost job. Maybe you're starting a business, or maybe even having a child. And I know, Kim, you wrote about this in your book.
I am such a fan of having a savings fund for all these kinds of events. So whether it's good or bad, having money in the bank that you know you can count on to get you through some of these times is just invaluable. I mean, it gives you peace of mind. It lets you know, even if you lose your job or your partner loses your job, you can still make monthly payments. You can still pay your rent or your mortgage, whatever it is. So it's just so essential to feeling a sense of financial security to have that emergency fund. And I like to think about it in terms of 3 to 6 months of expenses, so you know you can get through a time when maybe you do have to search for a new job. I mean, it doesn't usually happen overnight. It can take time to really find your next position. I think it's so important to have that in the bank to give you that sense of security.
And how can you make contributions automatic, Judy, to make it easier to plan?
So this is the what I call the pay yourself first. So if you think about, you've got all of your income coming in, you know your expenses, you can put your savings goals as part of your budget. And if you can automate that so that it doesn't even get into your account, you can't spend it. So for example, you know, that happens with your 401k plan. You have money coming right out of your paycheck and going into that retirement account. And you can set up that kind of savings with other kinds of accounts as well. Talk to your payroll area to have that done. And again, it's great if it can come right out of your paycheck and right into the account that you have set up.
Whether it's mental accounting, where you kind of mentally allot funds for different purposes, or using the envelope method, where people set aside cash in specific buckets, so to speak. It all works together to be able to help people plan for specific savings goals. So let's move on now to a segment that we call This or That. This is a section of the podcast where we discuss the pros and cons for any two options on a given financial challenge. This episode's challenge is one that probably sounds familiar to a lot of our listeners: saving for emergencies versus paying off credit card debt. I'd like to have both of you give some pros and cons to this challenge. Let's start with you, Kimberly.
I would probably say credit card debt is so stressful, so stressful. So I think one pro of paying that off first is that you know that you are getting rid of that high interest debt so you are not going to be building up increasing amounts of debt over time. And then also, if you do pay off your credit card debt and you are making all of your bill payments on time, you're contributing to having a better credit history, credit score, and that, of course, helps you to have access to loans if you need them, for example, a mortgage or an auto loan. So I think all kinds of options open up if you work on paying off your credit card debt. And then also, of course, on the other side with your savings, like we were saying before, it's just, you know, so essential to have money in the bank for unexpected events. So definitely that would be a very close second for me.
Okay, Judy?
I think the emergency savings is just essential. If you have nothing in the bank, I think it's critical that you get $1,000 to $2,000 saved in your bank that's easily accessible, and then work towards 3 to 6 months of your expenses that Kimberly has already mentioned. If you're in over your head in credit card debt, you might want to start paying that down. And Lynette, you know, I've heard you talk about this idea of a rainy day fund versus your emergency reserve.
Right. The way I like to explain it to people is that all of us sort of use different jargon or different terminology to explain having a little money on the side. Some people call it a rainy day fund, an emergency cash cushion. But really, I think the salient point is that our listeners need to know that you need two sets of funds. The emergency fund is, say, $500 to maybe $1,000 or $2,000. And that one is really designed to cover you for one quick challenge. Your car breaks down, your roof leaks, you need to call a plumber, something where you can pretty much throw some money at the problem and it'll go away. But the longer term fund, what I call the rainy day fund, that's where you need many thousands of dollars, because ideally that should tide you over in the event of a longer term, more protracted problem like job loss or divorce. Let's have another challenge. This one we call keeping you up at night. Now, I'm going to give you both a hypothetical situation that people often don't feel confident about, and I just want you to respond with your perspective. So here it is. How do we prioritize saving for retirement versus paying off debts like student loans? Kim?
I would say as soon as you have access to a 401k, and a lot of people, you know, that might be their first job or one of their early jobs, it always makes sense to take advantage of any company match that's offered. Because if you don't do that, you're literally just leaving money on the table that would otherwise be in your bank account. So that would be number one top priority. And with some of these debts, as long as it's not the credit card debt that we talked about before that tends to be so high interest, those tend to be, and of course, it varies, but they tend to be at a lower interest rate. So you can pay that off more at your leisure over time. You don't have to feel a sense of urgency that you need to do it right away as soon as you have the money to do so. So I would say, you know, retirement account is so important, and it's so important to start. When you're young, especially, you want to have as much time as possible to allow your savings, your retirement savings to grow.
And Judy, your thoughts about prioritizing savings for retirement versus paying off debts like student loans or credit cards?
I completely agree with Kimberly that pay what you need to pay on your student loan debt. And I talk to people that they just feel overwhelmed because they have tens of thousands of dollars in student loans debt, and they just feel like it's a burden. But really, if you can just pay that over time, make your payments, and not worry about paying it off before you start saving for retirement, I say that's okay. It's okay to have that debt. And it's, you know, we talk about the good debt versus bad debt. You know, that's essentially good debt because you've invested in yourself and you've invested in your future, and that should help you, you know, have a higher salary over time. Again, I think just make the payments that you need to make and really concentrate on putting your savings into your retirement account.
So the big takeaway here for our listeners is that doing things like paying off debt and still saving, those are not mutually exclusive goals. You really can and should do both simultaneously.
If you can, yes.
So I'm afraid we have to wrap things up here. But before we go, we have one last segment that we call the big picture. This is where we present a goal, and we want you both to have a chance to encourage our listeners about ways that they can achieve that goal. So today's big picture is about savings. How should people prioritize savings? And more to the point, how much should they have saved? Judy, let's start with you.
We've talked a lot about prioritizing savings for different kinds of goals. You know, there's retirement, you might be saving for a child's education, or just trying to buy your first house. And it all comes down to taking a look at your income. How are you going to work those savings into your spending plan? And we just are going to be responsible for our own retirement, and we can't ignore that. At the same time, make a plan to pay down your high interest credit card debt. That, again, that's the real culprit. I wouldn't worry so much about the other kinds of debt.
And Kim, your thoughts about how much people should have saved?
Well, I love thinking in terms of percentages. So I love aiming for 10 to 15% that you're putting into your retirement account. Of course, you know, you might be going through something where that's not possible, but that's a good goal to aim for when you can. And then at the same time, thinking about additional savings after tax for whatever your goals are. So for example, it might be your, if you have children, saving for their future college tuition. And I like having separate accounts for those different goals. I just think it makes it easier to stay organized and to automate savings. So if you aim to save an additional 5 to 10% after taxes and put it toward those goals, you're going to be making great progress. Of course, we have to, you know, acknowledge it's not easy, and we all go through things where we have to temporarily scale back or change our plans and then recalibrate as soon as we are able to. But I think as long as you're shooting for those percentages when you can and when you're able to, then you can feel like you're making some really solid progress.
Well, I want to thank both of our guests for joining us today. Kim Palmer, thank you again.
Thank you so much.
And Judith Ward, again, pleasure to have you with us.
Thanks. Really enjoyed it.
And thank you for listening. Please be sure to join us for our next episode about saving for college. Again, I'm Lynette Kalfani-Cox, the Money Coach. If you like The Confident Wallet, please rate and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode of the Confident Wallet podcast series is provided for general and educational purposes only and is not intended to provide legal, tax, or investment advice. This podcast episode does not provide fiduciary recommendations concerning investments or investment management. It is not individualized to the needs of any specific benefit plan or retirement investor, nor is it directed to any recipient in connection with a specific investment or investment management decision. Investors will need to consider their own circumstances before making an investment decision. All investments involve risk, including possible loss of principal. The views expressed are at the time of the presentation and may have changed since that time. T. Rowe Price, the Bighorn Sheep Design, and the Confident Wallet, collectively and or apart, are trademarks of T. Rowe Price Group, Inc., all rights reserved. The trademarks displayed throughout this podcast are the property of their respective owners, T. Rowe Price Investment Services, Inc.